الرحيم. إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية. جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. In Surah Al-Bayyinah, these verses were the last verses of Surah Bayyinah, and in these verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the two different categories of people. Whenever a book comes from Allah, whenever a Rasul and an Apostle come from Allah, these are the two groups people will divide themselves into. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about those people who disbelieve from the Ahlul Kitab wal Mushrikeen, those people who disbelieve from among the Jews and the Christians. They were awaiting the arrival of the last Prophet, Nabi wa Akhir Zaman, the Prophet of the last time, who they knew very well will be from among the Quraysh tribe. He will be born in Makkah, and his mission will be in Makkah and Medina, the land of the palm trees. However, after he came, these people disbelieved in him and denied him, and along with them were the mushrikeen and the pagan Arabs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their abode will be the fire of hell, because they died in disbelief, and as such khalidina fiha, they will remain therein forever and ever. And then Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst of Allah's creation. So people who disbelieve in Allah and reject Allah and they deny Allah, they are worst of Allah's creation. Why? Because they have failed to recognize them, their muhsin. They have failed to recognize the one who has been kind to them, the one who has given them wujud, existence, and who continues to nourish them every single day. Then they do not recognize him. Even the animals recognize Allah. Even the animals glorify Allah and they praise Allah. But these people are worse than animals. So they are the worst of Allah's creation. This is why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Bariya means creation. Shar means the worst. But against them, there are those people who believe in Allah and they do righteous actions. About them Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Certainly those people who believe and they do righteous actions. Which means that iman alone is not sufficient for the reward which Allah is going to give. Neither good actions alone are they sufficient. But good actions must be done in accordance with iman, and iman must be followed by good actions. So the two are coupled, one with the other one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. These are the people who are the best of Allah's creation. Those who believe in Allah and those who good actions, do good actions. Which means that in the above verse, there may be people from among the pagans, and there may be people from among the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, who will do a lot of good works in the eyes of men, who will be very charitable, who will build orphanage, who will build streets, and will build all these things for the benefit of people. People who will build hospital and give it in donation. But they do not have iman in Allah.
Allah says they are still sharrul bariya, the worst of Allah's creation. Because the greatest good a man can ever do on the face of the earth is to recognize the one who has given him his existence, and that is Allah. There is no better good than that. That is the first good and the greatest good a man can do. So if a man throws that behind his back and then he wants to pick up and do all other good actions, Allah says, no, that is not what I want from you. That is not what I want from you. So therefore, if a man believes in Allah, if a man believes in Allah, he recognizes Allah as his creator. But because of the weaknesses of human, the humanity in him, he may commit sin. He may fall into error. He may fall into the different mistakes. And he may have different faults. Sometimes he may consume intoxicants. All these are haram. But we cannot say that an unbeliever who refrains from all these things and he's good in society, we cannot say he's better than this believer. We could never say that. Because the distinction is iman. This one has iman. When he passes away, he will be punished for the wrongs he has done on the face of the earth. He will be punished for that. But one day, inshallah, he will certainly come out from the fire of hell. He must come out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. Why? Because there is iman in his heart. In Bukhari, the hadith says, the person who has misqal wa zarratin min iman, the one who has the amount of iman, the weight of a mustard seed, Allah will take him out. A spark of iman will bring him out. But the one who did the whole world of good deeds but did not believe in Allah and left the world without recognizing who is the giver of life, who is the giver of death, who is the one who had given him prosperity, he will remain in the fire of hell forever and ever and ever, and he will never come out from there. Why? Because he did not believe in Allah. It is to remove that doubt in the hearts of people that Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا أَمَةٌ وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ, that a believing slave is far better than a free man who is an unbeliever. Why does Allah say that? Because in the days of slavery, we do not have slavery now, but in the days of slavery, the slaves, female and male, they were the people who were the most inferior, humiliated and degraded people of society, the slaves. There was no one lower than a slave. In fact, slaves were lower than even animals among the people, you know, who lived and they owned slaves. A slave had nothing of his own. When a slave was, if we look at the history of whatever slavery we had in Trinidad, we will understand how they treated slaves. With their hands tied towards their necks and their feet tied to each other, and they were dragged. And they will walk out every single blood, you know, they will walk out every bit of strength in their, that they had, but they will still be flogged to work even more than that. And after, at the end of the day's work, they will get nothing in return as a salary, because they were not working, they were slaves. Animals were treated better than slaves. That was only recently. What about in the days when it existed and it was rampant in the world at that time? In every direction. This is why Allah says in the Quran that this slave that you might be dragging and you are tying with chains and chain and you are dipping him with water in water and you are tying him and flogging him, if he has iman, he's far better than the greatest leader among the Quraysh. He's far better than the leader of the Roman Empire. And far better than the leader of the Persian Empire, if that one doesn't have iman. وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ. A believing slave is far better than an unbeliever. Even though Allah says, they may look good to you. They may look good to you. And it is with that, that is a beautiful teaching, which should give us a very, very beautiful lesson in our daily lives. Because even among Muslims, they tend to lean towards unbelievers because of the name and the position they have in society, casting the believers aside because the poor believer may not have a good name in society. So this poor believer might want to be your friend, but you look at him in rags,
You look at him having no good residence, having no good car or whatever. He does not look very handsome too. He is not a person that if you need help, he can extend a helping hand. But on the other hand, there is a very close association with an unbeliever. Thinking in the heart, the person is thinking, well, this is the person who can give me some benefit. What can he do? Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to a blind Sahabi. He came to him, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when was asking some things of him. Meanwhile, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to him, a group of the leaders of the Quraysh arrived. Big leaders. And they said, "Oh Muhammad, we would like to listen to you, but this man here, this old poor man, he is right now taking your attention. Move him aside and then we will come." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give them the dawah because in his eyes he is seeing that maybe there'll be an opportunity for them to listen and accept iman. So he told Abdullah bin Umm Maktum to stand aside and wait. But as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, Allah revealed an ayat to reprimand that behavior. And Allah said, "Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma," subhanallah. He frowned and turned away when a blind man came to him. Subhanallah. Allah says, this is not the way, O Nabi. How do you know out of the boat? This is the one who will seek purification. This is the one who will strengthen his iman. Not them. Don't do that. So therefore, it is about iman and amal salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says iman is there. Good actions is there. Nothing besides that in a man's life. But ulaika hum khayrul bariyah. They are the best of Allah's creation. And because they are the best of Allah's creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has a special reward for them. Jazauhum inda rabbihim jannatu adn. Their reward is with their Rabb. Their reward is with their Lord. What is their reward? Jannatu adn tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Eternal gardens beneath which rivers flow. And their residence in Jannat will not be short-lived. It will not be temporary. It will not be for a few years, as the case may be. But Allah says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will abide therein forever and ever, subhanallah. In this world, when a man faces some happiness, it will come to an end. Good living, it will come to an end. Happiness, it will come to an end. But over there, Allah says, this happiness will never come to an end. Forever and ever. Then Allah says, along with that great favor of His in the hereafter, that they will get eternal gardens of paradise, Allah says, radiallahu anhum wa radu an in jannat. Allah will be well pleased with them. And because of the fact that Allah will be pleased with them, they will be pleased with Allah. As the riwayat we have given, the riwayat that is mentioned by Imam Bukhari from Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, when the people have entered Jannat, Allah will say, Ya Ahlal Jannat, your people of Jannat. Alo, they will say, Labbaik Rabbana wa sa'daik. Labbaik, we are present to our Lord. Wa sa'daik, and we are fortunate. Wal khayra kullahu fi yadaik. And all goodness of Allah, it is in your hands. All goodness, they are in your hands. Allah will say, are you pleased with me? What I have given you, paradise, Jannat, anything, subhanallah. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِي مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Anything your heart's desire will get in Jannat. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And anything you ask for. Two separate things, you know. One is that you are asking for something, Allah says you will get that. And then the thought of having something will come in the heart and you will not yet ask for it. Allah says that you will get also. The thought will just come in the heart and it will start coming in Jannat. Only the thought. This is why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about Jannat, he said it is such a place, ma la aynun ra'at, no eyes have ever seen. Wa la udhunun samiat, no ears have ever heard. Wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar, and no heart has ever thought about such a place existing.
a good place like that, a pleasurable place. So Allah will say to them, are you pleased with me? They will say, oh Allah, glory be to you. You have given us so much things. How can we be not pleased with you? He says, I am giving you something now, that there is no greater thing than this. Today, I am well pleased with you. Subhanallah. Today I am well pleased with you. And that will be the greatest thing for the people of Jannah. It is the greatest aspiration of every believer on the face of the earth. And even also in Jannah, there will be nothing greater than that. And it is about that when Allah will say to them, I am pleased with you. They will say, oh Allah, we are also pleased with you. This ayat refers to that. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. That is in Jannah. Allah says, this great ni'mat and this great favor of Jannah, paradise, gardens beneath which rivers flow, gaining Allah's pleasure, it will only come to that person who has the khashiyat of Allah, who out of his love and respect for Allah, he fears his Lord. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. This is for that person who really fears his Lord. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for that person who fears the standing before his Lord, every day he lives on the face of the earth, he is worried about what will happen when he stands before Allah on the day of judgment. He's worried what account he will give to Allah. He's worried about if Allah asks him about this and that. He constantly is in the worry of that. Allah says, that worry and that fikr and that fear he has will drive him to do good things. So Jannat will be his destination. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. So similarly, Allah says that the rewards, the good rewards, gaining his pleasure, gaining entry into paradise, and also gaining entry without reckoning, it is not for any and anybody. It is for those people, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ, who fears his Lord. So there are many people on the face of the earth. There are many people. There are people who will live according to their wishes and their desires. And they will fulfill all their heart's desire. Whatever the nafs wants, they will go behind it. Whatever the heart wants, they will do it. Anything they want to do, they do it. About that Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for the one who has become disobedient to Allah, and he has given priority to this world above the life hereafter, then Jahannam, the fire of hell, is his abode. That is where he will go. So some people will follow the dictates of their nafs. Some people will run behind their desires. Some people will do every wrong thing, or some wrong thing, or most wrong things. Allah says, this promise is not for them. Those people who have the khashiyat of Allah, and those people who fear Allah while they live on the face of the earth, Allah's promise is, yes, they will get it. So, the entire surah, Suratul Bayyina, when the surah started about the state of human beings before a revelation from Allah or a messenger of Allah comes, Allah spoke about that, how they were in need. Then Allah spoke about the other thing, when they did receive it, what did they do? And then Allah divided human beings into two categories, and leaving us with a beautiful lesson, that all the rewards of this world, all the favors of this world, all the goodness of this world, and the goodness of the hereafter, it lies in only one thing, the khashiyat of Allah, fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson here is that we should all fear Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith reported by Imam Tirmizi, he says the virtues of Surah Bayyina equals the half of the Holy Quran. Surah Bayyina, it equals the half of the Holy Quran. Surah Kafirun, it equals in reward to a quarter of the Holy Quran. And Surah Ikhlas, Kul Huwallahu Ahad, equals in reward to one third of the Holy Quran. So with respect to rewards, it is a very, very great and rewarding surah, Suratul Bayyina. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. سورة القدر. سورة القدر is the name of this surah. سورة القدر. It is a surah which was revealed in Makkah. So it is known as a Makki surah. And Surah Al-Qadr comprises of five ayats or five verses. The surah takes its name from the word Qadr. This is the name of the surah, Surah Al-Qadr. And Qadr literally means power. And the word Qadr, it is mentioned in the very first ayah and verse of the surah, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. The theme of the surah is to explain the greatness, the power and the glory of a blessed night on which the revelation of the Holy Quran began. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this surah, which is known as Surah Al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Certainly, we have revealed it. What it? The Holy Quran. We have revealed it فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, on the night of power. Then the Quran speaks about the night of power. And it states, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what do you know about the night of power? What do you know what the night of power is? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no knowledge about the night of power. Then Allah gives a reply to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what the night of power is. Allah says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. It is a night, the night of power is better than 1,000 months. It is a night, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is a night which is better than 1,000 months. So therefore, as a special fadilat and a special honor to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed a certain night to exist in every year, that if a person is to stand in worship on that night, then he will get the blessings of worshipping Allah for more than 1,000 months. How did this come about? The background of the revelation of this surah. It is mentioned, Ibn Abi Hatim has narrated from Mujahid, the great commentator and mufassir of the Holy Quran, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once mentioned that a man from the Israelites, he once stayed in jihad for 1,000 months continuously, never allowed his sword to be away from him. He was in jihad continuously. Yes, he may take rest in the battlefield when the battle is over, but he did not separate himself from his weapon. For 1,000 months he remained in jihad. In another riwayat, it is stated by Ibn Jarir, the famous mufassir of the Quran, states From Mujahid also, the great commentator of the Holy Quran, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the past nation there was an iba, an abid, a worshipper of Allah, who for 1,000 months he used to worship Allah for the entire night, and as soon as the day clears, he will go in jihad. And he will come back, and in the night he will worship Allah again, and that continued for 1,000 months. Both riwayats are there reported by Mujahid. When the Sahabas heard that, they said, "O Prophet of Allah, these people were great and Allah has been very kind to them. And O Prophet of Allah, if we want to compete with them and outdo them, we will not be able to do that, because our lifespan is less than 80 years. Our lifespan is less than 1,000 months. So if our lifespan is less than 1,000 months, how can we ever dream about competing or even following them in practices of worshipping Allah for such a long duration?" And they felt sad that people of the past nations were given more age than them, and thus they had the ability to excel. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his ummati will be given a lifespan between 60 and 65 years. Around that age they will be given a lifespan. But the people of the past will live for 950 years, 1000 years, 500 years, 400 years, that's the case maybe. So out of that, if a man worship Allah for half of his life, it will come up to about 100 years. It will come up to about 100 years. Still no one can outdo that person. So when the Sahabas heard that, they became one jealous because of the fact that a better opportunity was given to other people and they did not get that opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the plight of the Sahabas, and they were sincere in the actions, because it is good to compete in good deeds. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must compete each other in good deeds. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race with each other towards good deeds, not bad deeds. Not that who will do more bad than the other one, who will do more good than the other one. So they wanted to outdo these people of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the plight, and when he saw their sadness, out of a mercy and out of compassion to the Sahabas, to the Muslims, to the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he revealed the surah that you will not be given a lifespan of 1,000 years. You may not be given a lifespan of 1,000 months, but Allah's favor to you is that there is one night, if you search for it and you get it, then you will be able to compete with them. You would be able to compete with them. Just that one night, that if you are able to get it once in your life, then subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the rewards as if you had worshipped Him for 1,000 months or more. So this was the background of the revelation. And this is what the Jumhur is upon. The majority of scholars, Ibn Kathir has mentioned it, that was the cause of the revelation. So therefore, it shows two things here. One is Allah is always merciful to the believers. The Holy Quran says that, and with the believers, Allah is Ra'ufur Rahim. With the believers, two qualities are mentioned. And this is something we should always keep in mind. And with His believers, He is Ra'uf and Rahim. Ra'uf means loving, subhanallah. Hear what Allah is saying in the Quran. Allah is loving. What is loving? We understand what is loving when a person is loving and caring. They will be wronged, but when they are loving, they are ready to forgive the wrong. A man, look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man will commit a sin. He will commit a grave sin. And he will say, "Oh Allah, I repent unto you. Please forgive me." Allah will forgive him. He will commit the same sin again. He will say, "Oh Allah, I repent unto you." Allah will forgive him. he will commit a grave sin again. He will say, "Oh Allah, I repent unto you. Forgive me." Allah will forgive him. So much so, in Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, he, the man, will get fed up committing the sin and get fed up making tawbah, and Allah will not get fed up. Allah will say, "My servant, I forgive you." So that is loving. That is loving. Allah could have said, "Listen, what game you are playing here? You are doing the same thing and coming back again?" But Allah does not say that, because Allah is Ra'uf. Allah is loving. Allah is so loving that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the hadith is in Bukhari, that when a man intends to do a good deed, from that very moment the angels start to write down rewards for him. He has not yet done it. This is how loving Allah is. From the time he intends the good deed, a good reward is written for him. He has not yet done it. And when he does it, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says his rewards begins from 10, not from 1. Begins from 10 and goes on to 700, double and multiplied, subhanallah. So for one good deed, he gets 700 doubled and also multiplied with respect to the extent of his ikhlas and sincerity. Angel goes to record one bad deed, not 10, 1. But the angel on his right side says to him, "Wait, let's see if he's going to do a good deed. And if he does a good deed, it will wash away that bad deed, so you will not get the chance to write that good deed, that bad deed." Subhanallah. Is not that a sign of how Allah is loving? That yes, on the basis of fairness and equality and justice, the angel had to write it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the incident of a man who was a murderer, who has killed many people. And a time came in his life when he wanted to make tawbah to Allah and repentance to Allah, because he started to change. Wanted to make tawbah to Allah. So therefore, he moved from place to place in those days, moving from religious people to religious people. He goes to one, he speaks about the crime he has committed. Then the man says to him that the burdens you have committed, it's so much, Allah will not forgive you. So he took his life also. And he moved from people to people until the last was that a person said to him, "There is such and such a place there, the house of Allah, such and such place. Make your itikaf in that. Go stay there. Pray to Allah. Cry before Allah. Repent to Allah. In Allah's house, Allah will forgive you." And the man started, he undertook a journey and he started towards that place. And while he was on the way, he passed away on the journey. And when he passed away, two types of angels came for him. Malaikatul Azab wa Malaikatul Rahma, the angels of punishment and the angels of mercy. Both of them arrived on the scene. The angels of punishment wanted to start punishing him and to take his soul back to Allah. And the angels of Rahmat wanted to do the same. They are arguing with each other. This man had a good intention. The others say he had a good intention, but he did not yet fulfill it. We are more deserving to take the ruh of this person. So they presented themselves before Allah and they placed their case before Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, "Go back and measure the distance." One, measure the distance from where he started his journey to where he passed away, and also measure the distance from where he passed away to the mine house. If he was closer to the house of mine house, then Malaikatul Rahmah should take him, because he was closer, that should take the law. And if he was closer to his place there, meaning he's further away from the house of Allah, then let the Malaikatul Azab take him. When they descended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth on one side to expand and the other one to come closer. He was further away from the house of Allah, closer to the place of his departure. But Allah turned it around that he was closer to the house of Allah and further away from the place of his departure. When they arrived, they saw it, Malaikatul Rahmah, the angels of mercy took his soul and they went back. This is how loving Allah is. So Allah is Ra'uf. Look at this. It was not essential upon Allah to do anything. But here is that Allah sees that the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thirsty to make the ibadat of Allah. They are thirsty to do good deeds. And they even want to compete with other nations to do good deeds. Allah says, this is my favor upon you. I give you one such night that you just worship me on that one night. And you will get the blessings that if you have stood in ibadat for more than 1,000 months. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this night of power is far better than 1,000 months. This Laylatul Qadr. What is Qadr about? What is Qadr about? When the night is known as Laylatul Qadr, it is the night of Qadr. In tafsir and among the mufassirin and commentators, the word Qadr has two different meanings in this surah. And some have adopted it one meaning and the others have adopted another meaning. One meaning is that Qadr means greatness. Qadr. It means glory. It means grandeur. The glory, Qadr. Izzat, respect, honor, the honor of the night. So it will mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that night which is so great is the night which is a glorious and a most blessed and a great night. That this is what the night is about, greatness. The night is about glory. The night is the greatest night. And the other meaning for Qadr is Taqdeer. Taqdeer means destiny, decree. So therefore, if we give it that meaning, that Qadr here means decree, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Laylatul Qadri, the night of Qadr, is far better than 1,000 months, what he's saying is that this night, which is some night in Ramadan, is a night on which the decree of man is made. So therefore, it gives the night even more greatness now. It is such a night that the decree is made. But we know that the decree of man has already been written. In fact, the hadith, which is also in Muslim and in Bukhari, it spoke about when the child is in the womb of his mother and the angel comes to write his sustenance and the limit of his age, etc., etc. Four things are written. So the decree of a man is already written. When he will die, what is his risk and what he will eat, etc., etc. These things are already written. So then, what is meant by the night of power being the night of decree then? Because Qadr here also has the meaning of decree. Taqdeer. Destination, the destiny of man. The scholars have stated that this night in the month of Ramadan every year, which is known as Laylatul Qadr, is a night on which the decree of man, which has been already written in Lawhul Mahfuz, those orders and injunctions which are related to man and is between this Ramadan and the other coming Ramadan, those injunctions are given to four angels. This is why it is called Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. The night of decree. Now, let us understand what happens on these great nights. In the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Dukhan, there is an ayat which states, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubaraka. We have revealed the Holy Quran on a blessed night. What is that blessed night? Some scholars have stated that the blessed night is the night of Laylatul Qadr. So Laylatul Mubarakah, which is the blessed night mentioned in Surah Dukhan, is the Laylatul Qadr, which is mentioned in Surah Qadr. Both are the same night. Some night, the one odd number night in the last 10 days of Ramadan. But many other scholars are of the opinion that Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. When Allah says we have revealed the Holy Quran on the night of power, on the blessed night, that night refers to the 15th night of Sha'ban. Allah says we have revealed it on the blessed night. That night is the 15th of Sha'ban, the 15th night of Sha'ban. Now in this surah, Allah said, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, we have revealed it on the night of power. Is the night of power the same night? No. First of all, there was the intention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, the decree was made to reveal the Holy Quran. And that decree was made on the night of 15th of Sha'ban. Because the Holy Quran, when it describes that night, it says on that night the decree of everything is made. It says that the decree of everything is made. So the decree to send them the Holy Quran was made on the blessed night of the 15th of Sha'ban. So this is why Allah refers to that as a revelation. Then, on the night of power, which is one of the odd number night in Ramadan, is the night when the entire Holy Quran was revealed from the Lawhul Mahfuz to the heavens. And then, from there, it took a period of 23 years for Jibreel alayhi salam to bring it to and from. Bringing it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on different occasions. So therefore, the 15th night of Sha'ban, according to authentic traditions, and also connecting to the ayah of the Holy Quran in Surah Dukhan, it is the night when the decisions are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not in a manner that they are now being made, because from the time a child is born, for example, if a person is 16 years, then his entire destination decree has been written already by Allah. So the first writing is what Allah has written for every man already. Okay? The first writing is what Allah has written for every man already. Then, on the 15th night of Sha'ban, it is transcribed from Lawhul Mahfuz on tablets, the decree of every man. What is going to happen for that year? Who will die for that year? Muhammad Abdullah, he will die in this month. His sustenance will stop at that time. He will become sick. Rain will fall on this month. Rain will fall in this day. All those things which are already existing in the decree of Allah, because the pen was written already and the pen has gone dry. When Allah created the pen, and the pen was created before man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in authentic hadith, Allah said to the pen, Uktub, write. The pen said, Maktubu, what can I write? Or what should I write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uktub ma kana wa ma kainun, write what had already occurred and what will occur until the day of judgment. And the pen started to write and then it stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jaffatil qalam bima kana, the pen has gone dry. What is written already. What is written already. The pen has gone dry. So that pen was qalamul azali, the pen which has written in eternity. The pen which has written every single thing when Allah commanded it. So people who are yet to be born in 1,000 years away from now, if so long the world, that has been written already. Where they will be born, who will be their parents, what will be their risk, it's already there. But on the 15th night of Sha'ban, when we say, and it's stated in the hadith, that the decree is made, it means that whatever is written in Lawhul Mahfuz, it is now transcribed on the tablets which are to be given to the angels. To the angels. That is why it is a night, a powerful night, when that takes place. Then, Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. This is the translation we are given, the night of decree. Some translations have given it as Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. And other translations have stated what? The night of power. The night of power. But literally, in its definition, the night of decree is something different from the night of power. The night of decree tells us is the night when the decree is made. Now what happens, my dear brothers and sisters, what happens on Laylatul Qadr is that whatever decree has been written from Lahul Mahfuz on the 59th of Shaaban on tablets, those things are now handed down to four angels. The things that will take place between this Ramadan and the coming Ramadan, during a period of 1 year, all those things are given to the angels, to four angels, according to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, narrating the tafsir of Qurtubi. The angels who get this register, the angels who get these things, are Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israel alayhi salam, and Israfil alayhi salam. Why? Because these are the four angels who have been entrusted with the job of managing the affairs of the world. Mikael alayhi salam has been entrusted by Allah to overlook rainfall, to overlook rainfall, vegetation, crops, all these things. Allah is the one, is the supreme power who does every single thing. Allah is the one who causes the crops to come and also destroys it. But Allah has put angels. For example, Allah knows our deeds. Allah knows our deeds. Before we do it, Allah knows it. But He has appointed Kiram and Katibin who will write and give it to Him. Allah is He who takes the life of everyone. Allah who takes our life. Allah is the one who causes death. But Allah has put Israel alayhi salam to grab the ruh to carry it back to Him. Allah is not in need of that, but it's a system of arrangement which Allah has made to exist on the face of the earth. Allah, when the time comes, Allah can destroy the entire universe without the sounding of a horn or trumpet. But Allah didn't do it that way. He has put something in place where Israfil alayhi salam will sound the trumpet and then the world will come to an end. Allah doesn't need a man to go to the grave and then go in barzakh. He can take him as he's about to die right into barzakh. But Allah has made a system, put him there, and this is the way we go about it. Put him there, cover his grave, and then we will deal with him. So Allah has a system managing the affairs of the world. And four angels are deputed by Allah to govern and to manage different things. And they are Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, Israfil and Israel alayhi salam. And they are given their handouts by Allah. So the angel of death is given a list of the names which has already been written originally, which was transcribed on the night of the 59th of Shaban, and now what was transcribed there and written is now handed on Laylatul Qadr night, the night of the decree. This is your job for the year, subhanAllah. These are the names. This is the place you will find them. Mikael alayhi salam, this is the sustenance of this man. This is what he will eat. This is the place you will have to pour in. This is the crops that you will have to destroy. A list of every single thing is given on that night. That is why it is called Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. The night of decree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Most certainly we have revealed the Holy Quran on the night of Laylatul Qadr. What revelation is taking place here? It can refer to two types of revelation. One, it was the month in Ramadan that Allah revealed the entire Holy Quran from Lawul Mahfuz to the lower heavens. Because Jibreel cannot go to Lawul Mahfuz. Where is Jibreel positioned? Sidratul Muntaha. Jibreel alayhi salam cannot pass Sidratul Muntaha. It's an authentic hadith. And Lawul Mahfuz is far above Sidratul Muntaha. So it was sent down there, and Jibreel alayhi salam was ordered by Allah to take different parts at different times to bring it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, together with that, the very first revelation on the face of the earth اقرا بسم ربك الذي خلق was revealed in the month of Ramadan. So in both ways, when Allah says we reveal the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan, it refers to the both types of revelation. Similarly, it is mentioned in a riwayat by Sahabas that all the revealed books were revealed in the month of Ramadan. The Zabur, the Injil, the Torah, the Suhuf of Ibrahim, Suhuf of Musa, all those books were revealed in the month of Ramadan on different dates. So Allah says, even besides the fact that this night is better than 1,000 months, even besides that, just to know that the Holy Quran, which is the greatest book, was revealed on the night itself, is a media and a reason for the power of the night. Then Allah says, وَمَا دَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Have you any knowledge about Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr, night of power, night of decree, night of power. What is this night about? Allah says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. It is a night which is far better than 1,000 months. What occurs on this night? When the night comes in, what occurs on that night? تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. The angels, all the angels, and ruh, the spirit or the soul, referring to Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend on that night with the permission of Allah. Allah gives them permission on that night to come down, and they descend min kulli amr, with the decree of everything destined to occur for that year. They come down with all their fears. They come down on that night. They come down on that night. Bring in what? Salamun, peace. And the peace lasts until when? For 1 hour of the night? The first half? No. From the beginning, hiya hatta matla' al-fajr, and will end until the emergence of the dawn. So what goes on that night? The angels descend. And by Haqqi, there is a riwayat reported by Anas radiallahu ta'ala. He says, on this night, angel Jibreel alayhi salam descends with a group of angels. With a group of angels. And these angels pass through the face of the earth. And they come and they shake the hands. And they make dua for every single person who is in ibadat on the night of Laylatul Qadr. And they make dua to Allah for them. They salute them. They give peace to them. They remember them in their pious dua. And they continue to do it until the morning is clear. They remain on the face of the earth, moving to and from, shaking this one hand, making musafaha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the night. It is the night when the doors of heavens are open. It is the night when Allah accepts tawbah in abundance. And it is the night when angels come one after the other to the face of the earth. Angels from the highest spot in Jannat, Sidratul Muntaha, those angels descend on the face of the earth on that night. Those angels. So subhanallah, just imagine, not for any other time, but when the night of power comes in, the night which is known as Laylatul Qadr, the night of the decree of Allah, Allah sends His close angels, His most beloved angels. Angels who do not normally visit the earth on a daily basis. Angels who reside along the Sidratul Muntaha, and that is the highest place for them. They cannot go above that. Allah sends those angels. And He makes Jibreel as the Amir. And He says, go down. Salamun, let there be peace among my servants until the dawn clears. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, O Prophet of Allah, if I happen to find that night, what dua, what supplication should I make? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, you should make the supplication, Allahumma innaka afuun kareem, tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. O Allah, innaka afuun kareem. O Allah, you are most forgiven. You are kareem. You are honored and respected. Tuhibbul afwa, you love to forgive. Fa'fu anni. So Allah, forgive me because you love to forgive. You love to forgive and I love to ask for forgiveness. So you forgive me. So, this surah, which is Suratul Qadr, the night of power, the night of greatness. Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. So many things, decisions are handed down. Decree which is written on the 15th night of Sha'ban, which we are coming to. And besides those virtues, the mere fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, the night is so powerful, that night is far better than 1,000 months, is enough as a virtue to let us know how valuable that night is. So, the summary and the synopsis of the surah is that it spoke about the greatness of that one night. Where is that one night? According to the many traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this night is one of the last 10 days or nights of Ramadan. In another hadith, he went further to say that among the 10 days and the 10 nights, in the odd numbered nights, you will look for the Laylatul Qadr. This is why a person in searching for this night should search for the 10 nights. Should search in the 10 nights, because with respect to when the month of Ramadan is going to end for that year, each night could be an odd and an even. Because if it ends for 30 days, you have even. And if you have 29 days, then you only have 9 days in the end. So you do not know which night it can be on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, search for it. It is on any one night. Many people believe it is the 27th night because of the experiences. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, search on the 25th, 27th and 29th. Other riwayats says any one of the odd numbered nights of the 10 days, which means 21st, 22nd, 25th, 27th, 29th, as the case may be. But we're encouraged to look throughout the 10 days. Throughout the 10 days. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of his room, and he saw in Bukhari, he saw two people arguing. And he said to the Sahabas, I now came out with a message Jibreel has given me. Allah has informed me which night is the night of Laylatul Qadr. But when I came out and I saw these two Muslims arguing, Allah took up the knowledge immediately. He says, now I do not have the knowledge. So maybe it is better for you. Search for it. Allah will bless you. Search for it. So that hadith is used also to show us that quarrels and disputes also, it runs away Allah's mercy and barakat. That quarrels and disputes have such a bad effect that it removed the knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had about it. He says, I was made to forget it. Right now I had it. I came out to inform you, but as soon as I saw them, but Allah took away the knowledge. I do not know anymore. So you will have to search for it. So when that time comes, may Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to work hard and worship Allah. And also may Allah give us the ability to search hard during these nights, so that we may find that night in some portion of the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Assalamu alaikum.